The Queensland Government has announced it's offering up to three new casino licences across the state. One's confirmed for Brisbane, and the contenders for the other two licences are likely to be the tourist destinations of the Gold Coast in the south and Cairns in the far north. Cairns already has one casino, and it looks likely to get its second with plans for a $4.2 billion resort. Cameron Wilson took a look at the benefits and the drawbacks of more casinos for Australia. He began with the views of Member for Barron River, Michael Trout. Now, Michael's electorate looks likely to get this second casino, and he told Cam it'll help Australia keep up with the global gambling industry.
We have been left behind the rest of the world as a destination to come and visit, and the larger developments have all happened, in the Bahamas and in Dubai, and to another extent is the Singapore model. And the Singapore model has lifted tourism into Singapore by more than 20%.
So what is that? What do you mean, the Singapore model?
The integrated resort with a casino involved in that, and we've been relying on hotels and resorts that have been built many years ago. And we're very enthusiastic about this development for North Queensland.
So when you say integrated resort, what that means, somewhere you can go and play golf, lie by the pool and gamble?
That's correct. It's a one-stop shop where you can bring a family, be entertained at night time. And in that same breath, they can still take a cruise out to the Great Barrier Reef or go and see the rainforest. Mm. And the Sheraton Mirage was the last integrated resort built in North Queensland, and as everyone knows, that put Port Douglas on the map.
This proposal is huge, though, by anyone's standard. $4.2 billion. It pretty much makes James Packer look like a small family businessman. Are you comfortable with the size?
Yeah, well, the integrated resort proposal, the ACRES proposal, is worked on the same model as Singapore, and you need that number of beds to make the casino aspect work as well. We're looking at, one casino license for Brisbane, and then potentially, if they tender correctly and the appropriate people to run it, that they can, that we will be able to give them that license as well for North Queensland. What I'd like to reiterate with North Queensland is we are the closest western city to China, and Macau is now around about 6 or 7 times bigger than Las Vegas. And already Singapore is twice as big as Las Vegas. So I'm not talking about that we will become the Las Vegas of Australia, but because we are within a 6-hour range of China, it gives us that exposure to the world.
How would you describe the reaction locally to this plan? I know there's some environmental concerns, but there's also some saying that, well, a lot of the hotel beds are vacant as it is. The last thing we need is a lot more rooms.
No, the occupancy this year is very, very high in Cairns. We're about 3,000 hotel rooms in Cairns, and they've been in the 80s and 90s throughout this year. This will just bring more focus. It'll bring more airlines will come our way, and this will create its own, beds or its own business. So this will be added bonus for us.
That's Michael Trout, the member for Barron River in far north Queensland on Bush Telegraph. We're discussing the fact that Queensland has three new casino licences on offer. One of the plans is to build a sizeable casino in Cairns. Also with me is the Reverend Tim Costello, who chairs the Australian Church's Gambling Task Force. Tim, thank you for joining us today. What are your thoughts when you hear the details of this proposed development?
Well, my thoughts are there hasn't been at all a proper costing of this. And what I mean by that is you will find, if you go to the Productivity Commission report, that it says high rollers only ever account for at most 11% in the casino. The rest is accounted in terms of casino profit by what they call the grind, a lovely sensitive term, and the grind is locals, and it's largely on the pokies and the tables. None of us have any objection to rich foreigners coming and dropping a bundle and coming and enjoying tourism, and Cairns has already got a casino, but we all know that the social damage in terms of most of the money and the throughput coming from locals is enormous. And that damage isn't just the gambling in Aboriginal communities, which we're very aware of. It's actually in Asian, it's in local communities, and that damage has been demonstrated very, very eloquently in terms of what the actual accounting, the real cost is, by the Productivity Commission, who says there's a net loss, not a net benefit. And that net loss extends to local businesses because even though there's jobs created, when you're building this, and that's good, and there's a few staff employed, if you spend $1 million on gambling, you create two or three jobs. $1 million on hospitality, 20 jobs, on retail, 10 jobs. It's actually not a great job spender. So that's why it's always dressed up as tourism and integrated industry, because otherwise, without the gambling that really preys on locals, you don't ever have a case to build it, and you never do a proper costing, particularly social and economic, of what the after effects are.
Is there an argument that it's a different case in a place like Cairns that really is a tourist town? Perhaps that that grind figure is slightly different in a tourist destination where you're clearly aiming at high-end gamblers?
Well, look, destination gambling, Las Vegas is the best, but now Macau has overtaken Las Vegas, shows that there is a market for destination gambling, and people say, yes, I want to go to Vegas. Unfortunately, the social costs of Vegas are now well known. The truth is that with Macau, with Singapore, the thought that high rollers are all just going to fly over there and drop a bundle, and I have no objection to them doing that, in Cairns is a very suspicious thesis. There may be some slight argument about, you know, it's just a tourist destination like a Vegas, a destination gambling place. And the simple test for this is to do what some countries have done, and Singapore's place limits on Singaporeans being able to gamble there, to say, okay, if you're going to put the argument as high rollers were attracting and dropping a bundle, then make it a foreign passport in there to gamble. They're very easy test, and it deals with then the social impacts of locals.
Is a casino really the main concern here, though? If you're truly worried about the social cost of gambling, aren't the greater concern the smaller clubs or the online gambling?
Online gambling is growing rapidly, but it's off a very small base. No, the casino is the greater concern. It's why Victoria, my state, with a million more people than Queensland, only has one casino. And there was a debate and some open costing about a second casino, and overwhelmingly it was said no. And again, the reason, and it's very clear in all the gambling literature, is accessibility is the major challenge when it comes to problem gambling. So we all know the figure with pokies, it's 40-60% that goes through that comes from addicted people, problem gamblers. No other industry relies on addiction like that. It took us 10 years, only 2 months ago did we get the costs of suicides here in Victoria. So we know there's been 128 pokies related suicides, and there's far more than that because you can only actually focus on what is directly pokies, you know, not any other issue. And 128 suicide figure we finally got. This is what I mean by social accounting. You really need to do this properly, because accessibility actually is the key to creating greater numbers of problem gamblers.
So would you hope that this development does not go ahead?
I have no problem with the development going ahead. The problem, the notion of better tourism and attracting tourists is fine. I would say if your argument is seriously that this is to target foreigners, rich foreigners, who, as I said, are going to drop their bundle, I have no objection to that. Have a foreign passport. My objection is it absolutely impacts the local communities in ways that there has never been any proper accounting. Our courts are full of people who weren't criminals who are in there because of gambling addiction. That argument, of course, never quite stands up to the quick grab for easy money without the social conscience of who's this money coming from and how does the ripple effects affect local communities.
All right. Thanks for your thoughts, Tim. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Reverend Tim Costello, who chairs the Australian Church's Gambling Task Force. You're listening to Bush Telegraph on RN. We're discussing the fact that Queensland has three new casino licences on offer, one of them for a proposed development in Cairns. Let's get a local view on the situation here from Jen Rapier, who coordinates a gambling help program run by the Uniting Care in the area. Hi, Jen. I wonder what if you share the view of Tim Costello there.
Certainly some parts of what Tim says we share. Up here, we promote safe and responsible gambling. So we certainly don't tell people not to gamble. We work with people that have gambling problems and want to stop or want to control. We work with the local gambling industry to make sure that staff are trained and able to recognise and support people that have a gambling problem. And we do a lot of community education.
Okay. How big a problem is it, problem gambling around the area?
It's certainly a big problem. Problem gamblers, they estimate from the Productivity Commission around 15% will actually present for help. So obviously it's very hard to get a true figure of how many people have a problem with gambling. Most of our clients that we have that present for gambling up here have a problem with the pokies. We're seeing more and more online and sports betting, but it's still overwhelmingly the pokies that are causing the problems here.
And so do you think the existing casino has played a role in that?
I wouldn't like to say that the casino's played a role in that, but I mean there are ample opportunities for people to gamble in Far North. We've got over 70 sites with around 2,500 pokies at the moment, and the losses to the population are around 7 to 11 million each month through the pokies. So obviously that's a lot of money that isn't going into other parts of the local economy.
Mm, okay. So if this development does go ahead, what influence do you think it will have on gambling habits in the area?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, as Tim mentioned and Michael mentioned that primarily it appears to be aimed at international high rollers, but it would be naive to suggest that local people wouldn't be going along and gambling as well. A big concern for us as well is that we know that venue staff and staff that work in gaming are up to 10 times more likely than the general population to develop a problem with gambling. So there would be an enormous amount of staff that could potentially be affected there.
Well, it becomes normalised, if you like, does it?
Well, there's a few theories on why it happens. It can be to do with the exposure, the normalisation. Also, a lot of times people working in hospitality might work on social hours and perhaps a gaming venue is the only place that's open after work, you know, so but we do know that it's up to 10 times, so we'd certainly be wanting a very high level of training for staff there to recognise problem gambling in their clients and also in themselves and to make sure that the support was there.
Okay, look, thank you, Jen, for your thoughts. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Jen Rapier, who's the coordinator of a gambling help program in the north of Queensland. It's run by, in the far north of Queensland, run by Uniting Care. Michael Trade, if I can just come back to you, the member for Barron River, how can the area account for the social cost of this development if it goes ahead?
Well, I did hear Reverend Tim and Jen, and they all have to be taken into account for sure, because the social impact for North Queensland has to be addressed, but This model would not work if it relied on the traffic of 150,000 local people. A lot of people up here have their own favourite clubs, and I don't think that they are going to be, you know, going from those, you know, venues to gamble on a regular basis to the new proposal. But certainly, I want to put my, you know, head in the ground and not think there's going to be an impact that has to be addressed. But this model is a 7-day stay model, similar to Macau and Singapore, and their marketing strategy will be with the airlines to bring internationals to it. Otherwise, they would not propose to build a $4 billion resort. The economic model would not work on just local, on any local, you know, numbers of such. But I just want to reiterate that some of these ideas that Jen came up with and what Reverend Tim Costello has will and should be considered. considered with this development.
That's Michael Trout, the member for Barron River. Before him, Jen Rapier, who coordinates a gambling help program run by Uniting Care in far north Queensland, and the familiar voice of Tim Costello, who chairs the Australian Church's Gambling Task Force, speaking with Cam Wilson. Feel free to respond on Twitter or Facebook if you have a view about whether we should be having more casinos. We had one comment that was just, no, with lots of exclamation marks. So that was on Facebook today. You're listening to Bush Telegraph on RN Radio Australia and online.